Welcome to Between Two Wetlands, the Village of Swamico podcast where we take a closer look at the projects and people shaping our community. I'm your host and Village Administrator, Alex Caker, and each episode we'll share the stories and details behind the decisions that impact all of us. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Village of Swamico Fire Chief Joe Berkler, where we discuss National Fire Prevention Month and give tips on how to keep you and your family safe this winter season. Please visit our website at swamico.org to learn more. All right. Welcome, Chief Berkler, to the podcast. Thanks for joining us, and happy Halloween.
Yes, thank you. I see you have your Halloween costume on, so that's good to see.
Yes, I'm the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, that's what it is. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. What are your kids dressed up as?
My daughter's going as an elephant, and my son, I'm not really sure what he's going as.
Okay. Is he still getting dressed up?
He's still going to get dressed up. I figure we could go as 6'7" type thing. You know, him the 6, I'm the 7 or whatever, but we'll see. Okay. See what happens.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us. It is October 31st and getting towards the end of the month here, but it still is technically Fire Prevention Month. And Chief, can you talk a little bit about why October in particular is such a critical time for every family in our village to review their home safety plan?
So it is, like you said, Fire Prevention Month, kind of wrapping up today with a month-long series of events that we did. So give you a little history, why kind of October is important, the significance of Fire Prevention Awareness Month and prevention. Kind of started back in like 1871 with the Great Chicago Fire. So it was the anniversary month of that fire. So that's kind of why Fire Prevention Month. But also kind of curtails of when families are, you know, say, not so much nowadays, but back in the days, you know, preparing for the winter, kind of closing up their homes and getting all the wood piled in and starting to heat their homes with, back in the day, wood stoves. So at that time, they'd see a great increase in fires due to obviously kind of closing up the homes and then making, you know, the wood stove. So kind of correlates with that. That's kind of the two significant reasons why they kind of chose October. But like you said, it is the month, and we started off the month back October 4th with our open house that we had. Had a pancake and porky breakfast that all the proceeds went to our honor guard, which was started about 2 years ago by Lieutenant Randy Wheaton. So in our open house, we obviously have the kids show off the fire trucks, and obviously they can eat breakfast and then do a little fire prevention with them as well. So significant this year is we actually christened our new fire truck that we just got this year. Almost the cost of $1 million, so just kind of shows you how much fire trucks have increased over the years. But did a ceremony where we pushed in the fire truck and kind of pushed out our old one. So a little significant more this year. But so that happened on October 4th. And then later in the month, we did a bunch of school visits, Shepherd's Kids at Swamico Elementary, Bay Harbor, Forest Glen. Kind of spoke with all the kids there about, you know, your basic stop, drop, and roll. And what to do if there's a fire, obviously call 911, the uses of why you call 911. And then some of the older kids, kind of fifth and sixth graders, we would teach them how to actually use a fire extinguisher, because I think at that age, they're obviously a little more understanding of what fires are. So teach them, you know, meeting places and how to use a fire extinguisher, and obviously, you know, to have their family, the families check their smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. So busy month for us, and it wraps up today with Halloween. And we're out and about in the community with our fire trucks and handing out candy. So, but still spreading the message of, you know, checking your smoke detectors and fire prevention. So,
and then speaking about smoke detectors, so we know that statistically the non-working smoke alarms contribute to most fire-related deaths. What is the single most important thing that somebody listening today can hone in on and check right now regarding their smoke and even their carbon monoxide alarms, and how often should those be replaced?
So, good question. So, the most important thing is to check it. I mean, we get, even myself, you know, you get to like, oh, it's fine, right? I mean, it's not beeping, so it must be fine. So, but you don't know if you're gone on vacation for, you know, the weekend and the smoke detector was going off beeping and you got back and, well, it's the battery's already dead, so it's not beeping anymore, so you don't even know it was beeping. So the most important thing to do is check every 6 months, but go home right now, check your smoke detector or carbon monoxide detector. And you should check them, obviously, every 6 months, kind of that spring ahead, fall back date.
Which is this weekend.
It is this weekend. You're right. It actually is this weekend. So, but smoke detectors should be replaced every 10 years. And then carbon monoxide detectors should be replaced between every 5 and 7 years. So they do, some of the new smoke detectors have the 10-year battery in them, so which is nice. But you still have to check them. Just because it has a 10-year battery in doesn't mean you shouldn't be checking them. Those batteries can go faster than 10 years, and there could be a malfunction in the smoke detector as well. So just more most important thing is just check those smoke detectors every 6 months, and go home and do it now if you're listening to this. So
that's great advice. And then unattended cooking still remains the leading cause of house fires. Can you talk a little bit about maybe one essential safety practice or rule that you'd want everyone to follow as it relates to preventing kitchen fires?
So the most important, I guess, rule to follow is stand by your, when you're cooking, stand in the kitchen. What tends to happen is people walk away, you know, the phone rings, or they have to use the restroom, or they're chasing their kids down the hall, whatever it is. Or they, you know, do another chore, cleaning or whatever it is, laundry, and they leave their stove unattended. And next thing you know, your kitchen's starting on fire. So it's really kind of, they call it stand by the pan. It's kind of a good rule of thumb is, you know, just when you're cooking, make sure you're always in the kitchen or somebody's watching what you're cooking, especially when you're cooking with grease or something with oil, high heat, stuff like that. So then obviously, if there is a fire, you know, kind of maybe throwing that pan on there. But if it gets too big, definitely call 911 right away. The faster that we're notified, the faster we get there. And then the faster we can put out that fire. So the longer you wait, don't be the hero. Like I said, if it's too big for you to put out, call us right away. And even then, you should call us right away, because if there is an insurance claim, a lot of times insurance companies will want that, you know, kind of fire report that there was actually a kitchen fire there, so we can do investigations. So anything over $500, we have to investigate. So it's best any damage over $500 that you're calling the fire department.
Okay, that's good to know. So the alarms will give you the warning, but the escape plans are what actually saves lives. What are some of the key elements of a sound home escape plan, and why is practicing it twice a year such an important thing to do it, and almost as important as checking your batteries for your smoke alarms?
It is. So going back to kind of the beginning, you know, we teach kids how to get out of a fire. Kind of teach them two ways, right? If there's a fire and they can see, we want them to walk out or kind of quickly get out of the house and not come back in. And then the second, obviously, is to teach kids, if there's a bunch of smoke in the house, to kind of crawl on the floor, you know, check the doors before they go, make sure the fire's not behind the door. So they're more or less crawling. So a lot of times we teach kids, you know, if there's a fire, crawl on the ground. Well, if there's a fire, we want them to get out if they can walk. If they can't see, we want them to crawl. But once they're out, not to go back in, have a meeting place, and make sure that meeting place can either be by, you know, the neighbor's house, by their mailbox, by a tree that the family knows. But it's good, like you said, to practice those routines, because, you know, in our busy lives, we forget things. You know, maybe you cut down that tree. Maybe the mailbox has got moved or whatever. The neighbor's moved, and now it's a different neighbor. So kind of, like you said, every 6 months, something might have changed in that time. So kind of going back and, like, hey, this is our meeting spot. Remember, this is our meeting spot. So just reiterating those things and practicing it. It's muscle memory. So when there is a fire, you kind of know where that – you go – to what you've been taught. And that's kind of what we do as firefighters. A lot of our stuff that we do is muscle memory in the tactics that we use. And we want, same thing with when you have a fire, to go them use that muscle memory so you know exactly where to go.
That's great tips. If a resident were to encounter a very small contained fire in their house and they might reach for a fire extinguisher, where should these be kept in the home? And what is a simple way to remember how to use those correctly?
So a fire extinguisher should be used or should be placed, especially by in the kitchen area, and then one on each level, really. And the reason on each level is you have a second-story house. If there's a fire, and the only way out is either through the window or down the stairs, you want to be able to kind of extinguish that fire so you can kind of get past it a little bit. So one on each level, and then one specifically by the kitchen area. So and we said we teach kids around fifth grade how to use a fire extinguisher, and even especially their teachers. And they're actually fairly easy to use. And if you practice one, studies show that If you actually use once in your lifetime or practice with one in your lifetime, that you're 50%, able to put out 50% more fire. So kind of alarming statistics. So it's really easy. You obviously take the fire extinguisher off the hook or handle. You pull the pin, and then you aim it at the fire. You squeeze the lever, and then you sweep kind of back and forth. So they call it a pass, P-A-S-S. It's pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep.
All right, and then as we wrap up our conversation, is there one final piece of advice, something that you want all of our listeners to walk away with today as it relates to fire prevention and fire safety?
I'm just going to kind of go back to how we kind of started, and that's check your smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, because you might be listening to this and like, oh, I'll do it when I get home, but do it now. It's the most important thing that'll save your life, especially carbon monoxide. It's kind of the silent killer. And fires, like you stated, happen at night for the most times. That's when they tend to are the most deadly, and that's because people are sleeping. So making sure that those smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors are working, that's the most important advice I can give.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking about fire prevention and safety. And happy Halloween.
Yes.
Try not to eat all of your kids' candy.
I'll try not to. And hopefully it's a safe and winter season for all of us as well.
Yes. Thank you so much, Chief. Take care.
Thank you.